Well, I read Matthew chapter 5 last Thursday. We stopped at verse 22. We took about halfway through that verse, so we'll begin again at verse 22. Let's read Matthew 5, 22, 23, and 24 together, starting with verse 22. All right, let's see, where am I?
22.
Let me see it. Okay, here we are. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and bear remembrance that thy brother hath fought against thee, leave thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. By the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples up on this mountain, and the multitudes have gone somewhere else, but he's up there talking to those with his followers, and angry with his brother. Remember, we talked about that last Thursday, and these are things that people should be careful of. And the kingdom age, but even today we can certainly apply this to ourselves. Angry without cause. We mentioned last time, are there causes for anger? Mm-hmm. Yes. Was the Lord Jesus ever angry? Yes, he was. Properly and righteously. But there's no cause for irrational, improper, no cause, just causeless anger. Some people just seem to bubble up with anger. Just explosion. Just look at them and they're angry. See? But without a cause. Then there seems to be a danger of the judgment. There seem to be three different categories of penalty. What judgment it is, we're not told. What's the second possibility? Anger without cause, judgment. What's the second thing in verse 22? Questions at bfdbc.org or 856-2611. 9018. Give us a call, give us a comment. Say hello.
Say to Brother Rocco.
Say to Brother Rocco. Which is some sort of a demeaning word, something like just to maybe you don't look good or whatever.
Empty heads.
Empty heads, that's fine. What's that?
It's a dodo.
It's like a dodo, right? A dummy. What's the penalty there?
Danger of the council.
The council. What council would that be, do you think?
I don't know.
What is that council called? Is it S?
The Sanhedrin.
Sanhedrin, probably the Sanhedrin Council. In other words, that's a more serious thing. You go from the judgment, which could be a regular law association, like some lawyer or some judge. But the judge, the council, that's the supreme judges. What's the third possibility here of not getting along with people?
Yeah.
Hell. A fool. Danger of hellfire. So that's, you just have to behave yourself in the millennial reign of Christ, or these things are going to happen to you. That's it, and then gone.
Well, the scriptures say, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God.
There's no God.
And didn't Paul, I should have looked it up, didn't Paul say, thou fool, somewhere along the way?
I think he did. One of them was a Simon Magus, the one that tried to perform the miracles, that could be. Mm-hmm. I think, filled with the Holy Ghost, said he, then he said, thou fool. I think it was for Simon.
Was it Simon the sorcerer?
Sorcerer.
Samaria?
Possibly. I don't remember exactly the day. I didn't look it up, but
sure.
I thought you did say that. So, of course, that's in the age of grace, and this person, the one and reign of Christ, they're going to really bear down on all these different details. And now, notice the third, calling somebody a fool, danger of what?
Hellfire.
Now, David is a man who writes, what is his name, who is spiritualizing hell. There are many people who spiritualize hell down to the
Hunt.
David Hunt. Yeah, David Hunt. He just, oh, this is a spiritual, it doesn't really mean hellfire, not really fire. Well, over and over again in the New Testament, fire is mentioned as far as hell. Lake of fire, hellfire, all these things. And so I think we've got to be careful. I remember Billy Graham, years ago in the 1950s, he had some evangelistic meetings. And listen to him. Listen, read this writing on it. There's no fire in hell. It's a very bad place to go. There's no fire, see. You just take the fire. A lot of people have followed that particular heresy. Lord Jesus speaks of hell fire, and that certainly is true. And that people say that the people are not going to be in there forever, everlasting life. It says everlasting life, but there's also everlasting damnation and everlasting judgment. Yvonne?
What is this judgment? I'm trying to see if you get angry without a cause, you're in danger of judgment. If you say...
Raka?
Raka, like an empty head person.
Yeah.
You're in danger of the council, and then if you say fool, you'll be in danger of fire. Hell, fire. Well, I don't understand.
Now,
I know what this says.
Now, this is a judgment because council. Of works, right? See, that's why it's a millennial situation. Is that true under grace, the dispensation of grace?
No.
No, see, nothing. You can say, fool, that won't send you to hell. What does send you to hell, Father?
Rejection of Christ.
Rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Unbelief.
Well, so this is, you see, that's why I said many things that are contrary to the teachings of the dispensation we're in now, because they rejected the king. These are principles of the king. He's laying it down. He himself. To them.
This is in some way tying with verse 20. You know, for I say, if you accept your righteousness, exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then it gives an example of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Of someone who's in danger of judgment. You have heard that it is said of them the whole time, thou shalt not kill.
Mm-hmm.
And Israel shall kill, shall be in danger of the judgment.
Yes.
So putting killing on the same tier as anger.
Yes. That's
anger without cause.
Tie that right in. That's right there. Yeah, Bob?
That's what I was trying to figure out. This judgment. The judgment isn't as bad as the council. Council's not as bad as hell.
Yes.
I don't understand.
Well, a judgment. For instance, if somebody does something even today, for instance, just an illustration, go before a judge, it could be a civil judge and so on, and instead of penalty, whether it's $50 fine, could be a judge for speeding, see? But if you hit something very serious, then you go not only the judge, but you have the judge, the jury, and then there's a higher penalty, you could have a jail time, see? And it always different decrees. Yeah, Tammy, and then Tom.
Is it because we're talking about the millennium here, but yet the illustration is such that the Jews of the day could understand, because if the council is the Sanhedrin, there's not going to be a Sanhedrin in
right.
the millennium. So he's just using examples that they would understand.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Yes, Vaughn and
I'm trying to figure out who is running around telling people that their brother or somebody is angry without a cause. Usually you don't, in a family, you don't run around and go to the judge.
Well, but somebody apparently is just giving the illustration here.
I'm just trying to figure this out.
A fellow Israelite.
Yes, could be a fellow member of the Jewish faith, the Jewish religion, Jewish heritage.
It'd be some public anger that everybody's...
Well, he's just having a principle, no matter whether it's a specific case, it's a principle. Angry has something. Just wait till we get this one out of my angry.
I guess it doesn't matter.
Yes, hello, Rob, what's up?
Hi, Pastor. Wasn't
saying
hello, and I think this whole passage strikes me. It's an indictment against the Pharisees.
Yeah.
And everything that he describes in here from the beginning, the meat, and I'm sure that this verse here that. Whoever says to his brother Raka, these are things that the Pharisees either did or they did not do. They were just contrary to.
That's right. That's good.
It just seems that the whole seems to be an indictment on the Pharisees and their legalism.
Yes, that's a good comment. Thanks, Rob. Let's wave to Rob over in Chicago. Wave for him. Good to see you. Thank you for calling in. You got everybody waving? All right, yeah. Anne-Marie has a comment there.
Okay, I was wondering, similar what Rob was saying, but in Matthew chapter 23, verse 2, the Lord Jesus Christ says, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say, and do not. Mm-hmm. And then laying heavy burdens. And so the scribes and the Pharisees, as you were saying, the council, the Sanhedrin is composed of Pharisees and Sadducees. Mm-hmm. And there's 71 of them. And the Sanhedrin is now formed in Israel. They've gone.
They got one.
It all set up. And, mm-hmm. yes.
Mm-hmm. For the tribulation time.
Yes.
Very interesting. So that's very interesting indeed. So these are the very occasions of judgment the Lord Jesus has mentioned. Then in verse 23, therefore, this is an illustration here. Yeah, Anna, you have something else. Go ahead, Anna.
Just a moment. Let me get back to it. Hello to everyone. I'm glad to be able to join you for prayer and Bible study. In Christ, Julie.
Julie Monahan. So good to see you. Welcome. Thank you. Julie from Erie, Pennsylvania. Another one, Anna? Go ahead.
I just looked up in Strong's a couple of passages. Mm-hmm. One is Luke 12:20.
Mm-hmm.
But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Mm-hmm. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided?
Mm-hmm. A fool for the rich man that derided a lot of things. That's the horse of us, one, Anna.
In 1 Corinthians 15:36, I guess I'll read verse 35. And some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die.
So thou fool, chapter 15, 1 Corinthians, what? Did you come to that one about Simon, the sorcerer? Or
that's a lot. That would have been Peter.
What is it?
That would have been Peter.
Maybe.
I'm not sure. I thought I looked it up and it didn't.
Nothing about the pool. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you.
1 Corinthians 15.
Yeah, 15 for the resurrection.
All right.
A few. Yes. In verse number 36. All right, so they go on to, there's a therefore here. See, because of bad things, see, these are bad things. What is the teaching here the Lord Jesus has given in verse 23? Talking about bringing thy gift to the altar. Do we have altars like they had in those days, huh?
No.
No, we don't. Will there be an altar in the millennial, and also in the tribulation? Yes, there will be an altar. There will be an altar. But anyway, be that as it may, they had an altar. What gifts do they offer? What's true, though, in this particular instance? They bring a gift in verse 23. What is true, though?
That he remembers.
Remember that what happened.
Your brother said thou fool or was angry.
And that brother has ought against you. See, something in verse 22 has happened. You remember that. Yeah, Dick.
Yes. I think if he brings a gift, now that is also can be translated sacrifice.
Right.
I'm thinking that he's saying here that if you bring a sacrifice for your sins, God will not hear you if you have something against your brother. Therefore, go make it out, make it right with your brother, and be reconciled to your brother. Mm-hmm. Then bring your gift.
Yes.
And I think we have a beautiful parallel of that in the New Testament. I mean, in Paul's in Romans about being reconciled.
Mm-hmm.
If when we were enemies, we were reconciled by the death of his son, and being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
Mm-hmm.
So God has reconciled us through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross.
Yes. So if you remember that your brother has ought against you, and there's something wrong, in verse 24, what does this person do with this gift?
He gave a gift before the altar.
All right.
Well, then wait.
First do what? Reconcile to
brother.
And then come off with a gift. Now this step 10.
Is that gift, is that in reference to some kind of an offering at the tabernacle or
the temple? Yeah, it could be an offering, yes. Something like that, an offering, whatever it may be. Yes, Emery?
I was just thinking, it's such an interesting point that you're saying that there was an altar because the temple was there in mm-hmm. Jesus. In the yes. Lord Jesus Christ's time,
mm-hmm.
and just how we see that all coming to fruition again,
yes,
in our own time.
Yes.
And the law will be reinstituted,
yes,
with the Jewish people. Yes.
Very interesting.
So they will have gifts again to bring to the
Yes, that's right. Uh-huh.
In churches today, as they come to the altar, what they mean is to come forward.
Yes.
And I guess kneel down by the platform. They call that an altar.
Yes, an altar call. So, that technically is not an altar. The altar is a calvary, and it shouldn't be an altar. See, that's what they say. Yes, it's not, I don't believe it's proper terminology. Many churches, Baptist churches included, Bible churches,
they
have altars and stuff. But, the altar call. So, they have a front of the room, they have a place where they can kneel and they can come if they want to, if it's up to them. But we don't really have an altar except at Calvary. That's the bell. Yes, sir.
I think they're referring here to the altars in the tabernacle.
Oh, yes.
The brazen altar.
Yes.
And you weren't, and the gold, wasn't there golden? No, wait a minute.
The altar of incense.
Altar of incense.
Yes, yes,
yeah.
And the brazen altar. Yeah.
So I don't know what the law was there, but something about bringing a gift or a sacrifice, mm-hmm, to the Lord.
I think part of the reason all is where they were.
But anyway, God would not accept it.
That's
as
right.
Long as you had something against your brother.
Right. Yvonne?
I was just trying to, I know that what means the altar, the real altar, but I was just trying to bring what this teaching is taught sometimes today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is bring it down to today.
Mm-hmm.
So the altar must mean the platform there, like before you put your gift in the offering plate.
That could be.
I'm just trying to.
That's some of the
I know
illustration
of this Bible here, but I'm.
Illustration of that, this could be. So as a principle, I'll try to be as
great as I. It's sort of strange.
There's a verse that talks about the altar today. That Christians have in Hebrews 13:10,
mm-hmm,
we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which is through the tabernacle.
Mm-hmm. That altar is the Lord Jesus Himself and the sacrificial lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So we have an altar in that sense, but not a physical altar like they did in the Old Testament. Yes, they did.
I was thinking of a hymn. Is you're all on the altar.
Yeah.
Now, that is saying that you're giving yourself, you're giving your all to,
yeah,
Christ. But if you've got something in your heart against a brother,
mm-hmm,
and you've got to get that straightened out before you can give your life to Christ wholly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, from my own personal experience, when you try to, if you try to do what's in this verse, it causes nothing but confusion and hurt feelings. And
sometimes that's the case.
Well, everything I know of ever is. But it's probably because nobody said raka, nobody was angry without a cause. But everyone thinks when they're angry they have a cause. No one was said that fool for hell. So probably to try to apply this verse today, which many do, and hear sermons on this all the time,
mm-hmm,
not here, but is really unscriptural. Because if this is for the kingdom, that's why it doesn't work out.
It's always good to try to reconcile if you have differences, but do brothers and sisters always reconcile with one another?
Mm-hmm.
Even though one tries? Because the other always
makes it worse.
Sometimes it's worse, sometimes it's better, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But anyway, this is the principle. Try to live peaceably before you get into the religious gift to the Lord. Try to live with each other. That's if at all possible, wherever possible. Now let's go on to verse 25, 26, and 27. Let's read those two together. Agree with thine adversary quickly, cross our inner way with him. Lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. He hath heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. All right, let's the verse number 25. a view of an adversary. What is an adversary?
Enemy.
Is anyone else called adversary in Scripture?
Mm-hmm.
The devil. Your adversary, the devil. That's right. Walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom what? Resist. Steadfast in the faith.
We're not supposed to agree with him.
Absolutely not. But this adversary, somebody that's your opposition, see, whether it's a...
What if you don't agree with them?
Well, you don't have to agree. You don't have to follow this, but the Lord Jesus is giving an example. This is a better way to do it than some other ways here. Yes, Dan?
Does the word agree, does it mean agree or does it mean something else? I mean, I know it says agree, but is there the ultimate definition of agree, which we don't think of more often?
I think, in other words, if you can agree, for example, to pay $10 to someone, otherwise they're going to take you to court because you've done something that's wrong, better to say the $10 is cheap rather than go to prison over it. That's silly. That's what he's saying. Don't hold these little things too strongly, because there's a more severe thing that's going to come on the horizon you're going to have to pay. So that's what he's saying. See, just discount some of these little petty things. I think that's what he's saying here. As far as the principles are concerned, an adversary quickly. Yes, what?
Well, I have found in my own life that I try to get the with the Lord in me. You know, when hurt feelings or things are said, I try to get between the Lord and me and try to get it taken care of, because it's better not to go to somebody who doesn't even know she's hurt your feelings and then bring the whole thing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or someone might have said something and they really didn't mean harm, but you took it the wrong way. Or there might be a real, real justification for some kind of hurtness, but it's easier to get over it with the Lord in me than to stir up this person.
Well, this illustration is a brother that is walking with you in the way, the truth, you're walking along. He brings up a very serious charge. Perhaps he may know that you stole some money. He may know that you had a speeding ticket. So he may something happened to you, and agree that that's wrong, if that's what it takes. Agree that that's a sinful thing that you did or didn't do right. Because otherwise, you don't agree with it. He could say, all right, you don't want to agree with me. What take you? What's going to be the penalty here in this first verse, 25?
So this is a legal thing.
Yes. The judge. See, there's something that's definitely that's been done. It's against whatever the laws are in that particular time. And if you go to the judge, what's the judge going to do in verse 25?
Deliver them to the officer.
And probably that would be the officer in charge of maybe the prison, see? And you go to prison, see? The judge would say, I sentence you to this, and officer, carry him out, see? Whatever the sentence may be. And then, what's going to happen after that? What's happening after that in verse 25?
Cast
into prison. See, so all these little things, 1, 2, 3, A, B, and C, and so do you want to be cast into prison? If not, well then go back and just see if you can harmonize this. Yeah, Anna?
Well, is it possible that some of these passages apply not so much to the millennium, but more to the tribulation?
It's possible, but he's setting forth the principles, I think, of the millennial reign of Christ, and they rejected him as the kingdom of heaven. It wasn't accepted. I'm sure that probably some of them may apply during the tribulation period, but he will not rule. The Lord Jesus Christ will not rule as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, until the millennium. See, in tribulation, nothing's going to be right. The Antichrist will just knock over everything. See, nothing that is in the Scriptures will he obey in a kind. Yeah, Anna?
And I fail to understand how, like, in verse 11, when it says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. I mean, that's not going to be happening too much in the millennium, I don't think.
Well, it could be. It could be people that would do that, certainly in the time even of the Lord Day himself, when he was still living on this earth, there'd be people that would do this. And certainly, lots of things going to happen in the millennial reign of Christ. he's going to be the ruler, but there's going to be people that are unsaved people that can do the same thing they do today in these days, huh?
Yes, but he's going to be ruling with a rod of iron.
That's true, but still, there are going to be people that will be persecuting the Christians, the believers, I'm sure just like this. In every age, that's true. I don't think he's going to stop the whole thing from happening.
Well, yes. At the end of the millennium, there's going to be a war.
It's going to be a big war, that's right.
So where would those people come from?
It doesn't have to be.
From that time period.
That's right. In the millennium, as they enter, everyone's going to be saved and born again. But 1,000 years, there are going to be children born, and there are going to be all kinds of people that are lost and have not come to Christ the Savior and been saved.
I'm wondering whether this means that in the millennial kingdom there will be judges and prisons.
Well, possibly, because remember it says those that are saved in the new resurrected body will rule over so many cities. That's over this so many cities, I mean, going to rule. So in other words, they're going to be judges, just like Moses. He set people for different judgments and the big things he kept at the end of Moses. Probably so, yes. Yeah. So, well, the judge, yeah, huh?
I'm trying to remember. You know, they always say do Matthew something.
Matthew 18, is that it?
Oh, that's Matthew 18. So between Matthew 18 and this one.
As a principle, the judge.
It's just confusing. Yeah. Because the last time I tried to apply this, I guess I was about. Someone was very upset with me, and I knew it. I was told that this person was upset with me, and the person acted upset, and I went to the person. And it was worse if I had never gone to the person. But I guess it
was...
Well,
this is a legal thing, though.
Legal.
And if you don't agree, it takes you to the judge, does the officer of the prison. I mean, this is just an illustration of very hard nose things. That's some little simple thing that somebody doesn't agree with.
Matthew 18, you do it to the person, then you get to take it to somebody, and then go to the church.
That's
so true. I guess.
That's a principle, even though it is in. And we've used that principle in Christian circles, even in the age of grace. Even though it's in Matthew. So there's some principles that we use, for instance, we do not feel that they're applicable. So leave thy gift and then agree with the adversary, lest you go and cast you into prison. And then in verse number 26, the Lord Jesus says, if that's the case, what might be your term of service in prison? So by no means come out then until when?
You have to pay the fine.
You have to pay the utmost for them.
Yeah. So in other words, there was a charge. Now, people today can be sent to prison for a certain number of days, and then a good behavior, they're out practically the next day. And some are fined. And so this is a very serious offense, and it's better to say just disregard it. It's not something that's important. A small thing, lest you end up in a great serious thing. Any other comments on those verses 26, 25, 24? Did we read 27? I think we read that, did we not?
Yes, we did.
And you heard it said by them of old time. What is the old time?
I guess Moses.
Moses, the Old Testament, the old time, And the Mosaic Law in the Old Testament. What is it they've heard of?
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
All right. Where is that found in the Old Testament?
Deuteronomy
20. Exodus 20. And
Deuteronomy 5,
the repetition of the new generation, the young generation. Many other places it's found. But this, of old time, what is adultery? Questions of bfdbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call, give us a comment or question, or say hello. What is adultery?
Well, let you answer that.
It's having relation with anyone who is not your spouse.
All right, that's what the definition is, isn't it? Anyone who's not the spouse is adultery. When the spouse is married, whether the other person is unmarried or single, still it's adultery on the married person's part on that situation. But that's what has been said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's the same. Let's read verse number 28, 29, and 30. But I say unto you, whosoever looketh at a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that thou affect one of thy members shall perish, and not thy whole body to be cast into hell. And if thy right hand is cut off, then cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body should be cast into hell. Alright, so, the verse 28, is this a higher standard or a lower standard than the old time?
Higher.
Higher standard. What is the standard here?
It's a heart standard.
It's a heart standard. Mm-hmm. Now, is he condemning men from looking at a woman? Is he condemning looking at a woman?
Mm-hmm.
What is the condemnation?
If there is lust.
Lust after that woman, that's right. What is the sin then? If there's lust after the woman wants to look, is there?
Adultery.
It is adultery. Already, where? In his heart. Not his body, but his heart. So there's heart adultery with the Lord Jesus. It's deep down more serious than externals. Are internal things important as the externals?
Yeah.
Yes, the Lord holds us for thoughts, ideas, our heart, attitude, spirit, soul, and body. And so this is, he's teaching this as a principle, that he's higher than the law of Moses or the Old Testament at all. And so that's 28. And then 29, it's not a brass tacks here. What does this right eye offend thee? What does this offend? What does offend mean?
If you look at someone from
adultery,
the right eye.
Yeah,
backing up just a minute.
Yeah, go ahead.
It just reminds me of 1 Samuel 16:7, that the Lord said unto Samuel, maybe Samuel was going to anoint Jesse's older son.
Mm-hmm.
Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart.
That's good. The Lord looketh on the heart. And out of the heart, evil things come. All those things, abominations. And out of the heart are the issues of life in the Old Testament prophets. So, the right eye offending. What does it mean to have be offended? And the right eye.
It makes you stumble.
Pardon me?
It makes you stumble.
Maybe to stumble. Offense means maybe to stumble. Drop out. Yes, huh?
Well, we've just been told that if you look at a woman, so this being man, mm-hmm. so you look with your eye, and maybe your right eye, you're looking with your right eye,
mm-hmm.
and then tug it out. It's better not to have that eye.
That's it from me.
I never thought of that before. But
one member should perish, that the whole body should be cast into hell. Again, is this the New Testament grace teaching? If you look in a certain way, you can be cast into hell by works. Bad works will cast you into hell. What's the only thing that will cast you into hell?
Unbelief
or rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Hannah?
Bound for hell.
Hannah?
So are you saying that this would, that it would cause, and it would seem to me like grace was true in all dispensations,
the grace is true, but I'm talking about the dispensation of grace, the present age in which
yes,
we live.
Would this apply in any dispensation?
Well, see, nobody is going to be cast into hell except those that reject the Lord Jesus, but the devil and his angels and all those that reject Christ. Those are the only people, not people who look a certain way, and you go cut out. Yeah, this is, I think literally, it's not cutting out, but it's a very strong statement, but I don't think it's to be literally done. But certainly you can't be cast in hell unless you reject Christ. In this age of grace in which we live today, that's to have, I mean,
well, in the book of Exodus, it talks about if, you know, someone injures someone and they lose an eye, you know, it's eye for eye.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. True.
So
yeah.
Maybe that has some.
Could be a reference to that in the Old Testament. Come on.
He that believeth not is condemned already. So
right.
People are heading for hell unless they believe.
That's right.
So it's, we're just headed for hell unless we believe.
That's true. But you're not headed for hell if you look at the fence of the eye and cut off its ear.
Well, you're not a believer, you are.
Oh, it's,
I mean,
it's,
I'm just trying to get this.
The people that go to hell, the difference that are lost people, it's rejection of the Savior. It's not works, whether I plucked off, I not plucked off.
On this side of
but that's not to do with his plucking out of eye, that's what I'm saying.
No, okay. I
was going to say that now, in the age of grace, yes, believers can sin. Believers can lust after a neighbor, and that's a sin, but God deals with that sin if the, if the believer does not repent. And get right with God, sometimes there's stronger judgment on them. He'll take the person of in Corinthians that was having relations with his, who was his brother's wife?
His father's. His
yeah.
father's
wife. And he was severely recommended. Well, he did repent.
Yeah, later on, he did.
And that's the way it should be in right. the grace.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if a person persists in a sin like that, either of two things. Either he was never saved in the first place, or God will deal severely with him if he is a true believer.
Right.
But in no case does he go to hell because of that act.
Exactly. He's out of fellowship with the Lord, but still that's not judgment of hell. And sometimes for believers that sin willfully and long standing, there's the taking home to heaven. It's the sin of the death, physical death. That's true sometimes. The next thing, yeah, Aunt Tammy has something.
Well, I was just thinking of if somehow in things in the book of Romans where it talks about the law was given so that sin might be seen as exceedingly sinful, and here the Lord's, you know, spelling out the depth of what the actual judgment is and realizing so that people who think that they've kept the Ten Commandments realize that they've sinned.
Well, I think this is a lesson for us today, for the women of today, even Christian women, that dress so that they are attracting a lustful gaze from men.
Yes.
And I think this is a lesson that women, as Paul says so often, are dressed soberly and so forth.
Yes, that's very good. Then in the next verse, we'll pick that up so we can finish it. If thy right hand offend thee, I don't know whether you read that. Did we read that?
Yes.
It casts it from thee. In a profitable field, one of the members perish, and the whole body shall not cast it out. In other words, careful the eyes, careful the hands. But certainly this is a strong picture. This action does not send people to hell. That would be salvation by works and not works, but by faith in God. Well, take that up because I thought it sort of goes along with the right eye, the right hand. See, the hand and the eye. What sacrifice did God say for the priests that were into the priesthood of the Old Testament? Where was the blood to be placed?
On the thumb. The right thumb.
Right thumb?
And the right big toe. Right here.
And the right here. All right, so this is what you hear, what your hands go, where you go. And the one that is cleansed from leprosy, I believe it's the same place.
Mm-hmm.
The leper, the right ear, the right thumb, and the right foot. So the eyes.
It's not the right eye, too.
I don't know. I think it does three things. So they think the eye is left out.
It doesn't say the eye.
No, yeah. Well, we should watch. Be careful of the eyes, what you see. Be careful of the ears, what you hear. Father up above is watching down above. So be careful of the eyes, what you hear. That's a little song for short. Yes, what? I mean, Adam?
Put something on your eye, would you?
Pardon me?
You would want to put something on your eye?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, never mind.
Sorry, I thought you said.
Any other comments or questions before I close? Pick this up at verse 31, which is important, of course, next Thursday.
What is it?
Any other comments or questions for the floor? Right now, then let's close the word of prayer. We thank you, Father, we can discuss these verses from Matthew. Not always easy, difficult to understand, many of them. We thank you that these principles we can apply, many of them that are still true in the age of grace. Guide us and direct us on the Lord's Day as we come back and look at the book of Galatians. Study thy word, that thou mayest be pleased with what we do and how we live. May we be clean in our ideas and our hearts, that thou wouldst have us to live before thee and before others who are saved as well. Guide and direct us, bring us back safe on the Lord's Day. We pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. All right, thank you for coming. Thank you.